Happy New Year. Well.
Hello. Yay.
Happy New Year.
It's
Happy
a
new
year.
Year in April.
It's certainly not.
Oh, it's not? Did I fuck that up?
No. Yeah, second episode, I think we should just cut and run because you just messed up that bad.
They really jumped the gun on that one.
I mean, what if we could just start a new year every time we say Happy New Year after a 10-second countdown? The power.
That wouldn't. How about New Year's? I'll be honest. We'd be talking like eight. We'd be talking like 80, 67 right now. We'd be like, oh,
know,
what year is it?
Where are we at,
guys? Do you want to talk about video games? Do you want to talk about video games, or do you want to talk about like the new year for
okay,
the rest
fine.
Of this?
I'm
50-50.
I'm a little split right now. There's so many resolutions.
Right.
I feel like I can keep making.
Right.
If I don't have to commit to them for longer than a minute.
All right, I will warn you now. My internet connection is garbage today, so if I ever just go silent, just roll with it. Unless you ask me a question, and just roll with it.
He lags out.
His voice like trails in freeze.
Cool. All right, guys, welcome to the Crit Crew. You did it. You came back, and now we're here. You want to talk about Soma?
Oh yeah,
we'll talk about Soma.
I
want to talk about Soma.
Let's talk about Soma, right, though.
I'm gonna kick this off. All right. I'm going to kick this off by doing a very brief summary of the game. This was weird to do a summary of. I feel like if you haven't played this, it's just like not worth explaining because there's just so much, but I'm going to do my best.
You have 10
you
seconds.
You got Simon Jarrett. Okay, Simon Jarrett, he's got brain damage. He wants to go get a scan for experimental treatment to make his brain better. When the scan activates, he sort of blacks out and comes to in Pathos 2, which is this underwater research facility that has just gone to hell and it's full of angry robots and death. There he gets in touch with Catherine, who is one of the few remaining survivors. She instructs him to come find her, but when he does, this is where a lot of things sort of come up. One, he finds out that she is just a scan put into a PDA. And this is a big part of the game where you just find out that on this facility, they've found out how to put scans into computers, which is basically like you put your brain into a robot. This is where you also find out that you, Simon, are one such robot. Catherine mentions the Ark, which is a sort of simulation where they have all these, where they want to scan all the brains on the facility, nuke it off into space, and then that'll be sort of like a way to continue humanity. This would also be a good time to mention that the game's antagonist is the WoW, the station's AI system.
Blizzard.
Yeah.
Also probably a good time to mention that the game takes place under the water.
It does.
I'm pretty sure I said that.
Wait,
if I didn't, I'm sorry.
Have you not been listening, Max?
Under the water.
To this riveting intro?
To this Disney song. Oh. This Disney song start.
No joke, I actually rehearsed saying this every now and then on my drive home from work. Because recording a podcast is so much more stressful than a Let's Play. Because every time I like gather my thoughts, I'm like, oh, you're blowing time, David. You're blowing time.
You only got 30 minutes here.
Yeah. You're wasting it.
Make every second count.
This is a real high-stakes operation here.
I'm going to follow
this. So the AI system is doing that sort of cliche where it wants to preserve humanity and is doing just the worst job of it. So it's like putting all these scans it can find into robots, and the robots are going crazy because people don't like finding themselves in robots.
Go figure.
So the game, this game is like 12 hours and it has a lot of twists and turns. But I think one that just sort of like sums up the game is, you're a robot in a diving suit. At one point you must transfer yourself into a stronger diving suit so you can survive the pressure of the deep ocean. When you get yourself transferred over, you find out that that is not the way to put it. It's not a transfer. Your brain is copied into it. So at this moment, there are two Simons. This is like the biggest thematic element of the game. It's like, what is humanity? If you can copy yourself and have copies of you or be in a robot, what does it mean to be human? So the game ends when you confront the WoW, which that I definitely want to come back to. Yeah, so you confront the WoW, you can either destroy it or let it be, you fire the Ark into space, and then you, the game ends with Simon freaking out because he forgot about the copy thing. So the Ark is fired into space and Simon is still underwater. He gets into a screaming match with Catherine and the PDA breaks, leaving him alone underwater. But after the credits, there's a nice scene where you find yourself on the Ark and you meet with Catherine. And that's the game.
And that's the game.
Wrap. 12 hours condensed into 2 minutes.
12 hours condensed. Yeah, but for real, like, if you haven't played this, I don't know, like, you're not going to make heads or tails of this, because it is...
There's a lot going
complicated.
On. There's
a lot going on, and I feel like diving into this... So this is from the makers of Amnesia. So similar kind of, like,
Frictional
cat and mouse horror game where you're defenseless. That's something that... So throughout the game, you confront these WoW entities, and you're not really given a means of defending yourself. So it's just a matter of, like, I need to run around this area and distract and try to get away. And therein, for me, like, lies a huge, huge issue with Soma, is that there is this... split of it's trying to tell the story of existentialism and the issues of technology in our world, but then at the same time it is a horror video game, which when I would get to those sections I felt immediately removed from the narrative and what it was trying to say. What do you guys, how do you guys feel about that split? I know I'm in the minority for sure here.
Well, I kind of agree, but I just talked a lot, so I'll let Max go first.
Go ahead, Max.
I agree in a way. I didn't feel quite as strongly against it. I think Soma did a good old job.
Great.
Good job, gold Frictional Star. Games. I don't know if we mentioned Frictional Games. That would be our company here.
Yeah, sweet Frictional Games. Gold. I didn't fundamentally have a problem with the fact that they were going to do monsters. I just think they could have done it better.
Oh, yeah.
There were some that were more effective than others.
Yeah.
Caleb, I agree that, like, it felt like this game was a little bit too beholden to Amnesia's legacy. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it should have either been Amnesia Underwater or, like, a more slower-paced, like, subdued game. Could have still been monsters, but mm-hmm. a much more focus on puzzles and exploration. I think this is, like, good game design. Like, the gameplay and the story, like, work together. Like, mm-hmm. it's just sort of, like, treated as, like, a two elements, not separate. Like, just an example of when it's done badly or not considered, like, just like the Mario games. Like, the enemies are just there to be bounced on. But, like, not that there is, like, a story in the first place, but it doesn't, like, further your understanding of what you're doing.
You're gonna get some
hate on that one, but all right.
No, I'm right.
What about Princess
David's,
Peach?
David's gonna start this one up by going after Mario. That's a good call.
I'm coming after you.
We've alienated our only audience member.
Okay, I'm not saying it's a bad game. I'm just saying that the monsters.
I mean, that's the thing, is, like, there is a focus with Mario Brothers. The story is sort of ancillary to the experience.
True. That wasn't the best example.
No, but I understand what you're saying. Is Mario has a mechanic that it absolutely nails. The issue with this cat and mouse. I mean, you've seen this trend ever since Amnesia came out. I feel like horror games have been reduced to that survivalist mentality of, like, I don't have anything to defend myself and I have to run away. And that can be done well if your level design accommodates it. But the issue with Soma is that you're in this very murky, gorgeous underwater facility. But it is just, it feels too claustrophobic. It seems too aimless to effectively pull off that cat and mouse, because it's just, you're running around often in circles, not really knowing what is going to trip off the monster's attention. And it is too frustrating to navigate that space.
I have hesitations with using the term cat and mouse, because I don't know if that's the most accurate term for it.
Go on.
The difference, I think, in Soma, Amnesia is very cat and mouse in that there's, like, one enemy, you learn how to deal with it, and then you just kind of have to cope. When they show up, they show up, but they're a greater threat. Soma, since I feel like Soma has a greater variety type, so it feels a little less cat and mouse and more. I don't know. I didn't have the same kind of complaints. I felt like you'd kind of like go in an area and then you kind of have this notion of like, all right, well, there's probably something in here. I just had to, you know, deal with it when it arrives.
Sure.
And then the enemies kind of become dangerous walking puzzles.
Well, the problem I had, and I hate saying this because it makes me feel like I'm like a baby that needs everything explained to me. I didn't feel like they did a good job of like showing like what the monsters could do. Like, I think in a lot of games, it's like, here's the monster, here's the threat. It sort of like shows like someone else dealing with it, and then you get like, or that like leaves like a breadcrumb trail of like, okay, you get an idea of how to deal with it, and then there's like some trial and error. Like, one of the first monsters you run into, it's like, if you look at it, bad things happen. So, like, your whole you okay, Caleb?
Sorry, my cat is freaking out right now. All right, continue.
As cats are wont to do.
Right. So, like, there's this monster that you can't look at. So, like, I have no idea, like, I don't know this area. I don't know, like, what this monster does, like, at all. I just, like, sort of... like moonwalked my way through this thing. I'm like, this is not how I'm supposed to be playing.
Well, there is a difference. I mean, Max is right. In Amnesia, you're really just fighting. You're running away from a core selection of monsters. But there is variety to what is presented here. You just don't have a concrete idea of their limitations or how you deal with them. And that's a huge issue. You know, if you are thrust into this environment and your only tools are, I need to run, you don't really have the time to just stop and look and see, well, what is the behavior of this enemy? Like, what am I doing to outsmart it?
Can I go back real quick?
Yeah, go ahead. No.
I just wanted to say my biggest problem with these is, like, when I was talking about interaction of, like, gameplay and story, like, some of these monsters, like, they did a good job of showing, like, how the story has, like, gone, or, like, told you something about the environment. Like, there were these, like, little, like, mechanic robots that were just, like, screaming, basically, because, like, they were people stuck in a machine, and they were, like, freaking out and yelling, like, help me.
The bad
and
time.
That helps you understand the game.
The bad time the robots.
Right. The monster I was talking about that you can't look at is this weird disco ball head thing that teleports when you look at it, which is cool, but it's, like... we don't see this technology anywhere else in the game. Sure. When did these people learn to teleport? Can we talk more about teleportation? The future is now.
Yeah, and it's underwater.
That's one of the more, I think, complex dynamic enemies in terms of just like, he can do a lot of stuff. He can do a lot of stuff and you have to deal with it. And it's weird because they actually use him pretty early in the game.
They do.
I mean, later on there, I think that later on there are enemies that are just kind of like, what's the dynamic? Like, oh, this enemy's dynamic is that he's not happy.
And he has no skin.
He's unhappy, and
he'll come right after
you.
So, I mean, let's get back to what works about Soma. So I nag on the mechanics, but in terms of just world building and delivering just, like, little bits of, like, when you stumble upon, you know, these NPCs that are just like left helpless, you know, it feels like a memoir of a forgotten person, and I think that's what they really nail throughout. I mean, I felt like each character that I found throughout the universe had a very self-contained story that you can kind of just like, you can intuit and sort of get invested in. Like the one, it's been a while since I've played it, so I can't really name particular names or anything, but there was one instance that like really resonated with me. It's there was that robot who, towards the beginning of the game, after you dodge the creature on four legs, and you have to power... a generator or something?
Is the guy on the assembly line?
Yes, the guy on the assembly line. That's it.
Yeah, Carl.
Carl,
I think.
Right. And that is that's when you really don't have an idea of I am not actually a person. So you're talking to this robot who's convinced that he's a person. And it's this really strange clash of, okay, what's really going on here? I'm clearly talking to this robot who is convinced that they are a human being. You know, in order to get further, you have to flip off a generator. And upon doing that, I mean, he is in agony. He starts screaming. It's just like this connection to NPC, to the world, that just like completely took me off guard. And, you know, through talking to him more and more, he just gets like, I don't know. It was just a nice little contained story just by talking to this one NPC. And I feel like Soma does that so incredibly well.
That's an interesting point in the game. Another thing that's kind of curious about Soma is I remember playing it and hitting that point in the game and being like, oh, I bet I've got this game figured out. It's going to have, they're going to have, the twist of this game is going to be that you're a robot. And then, like, immediately after having that thought, they're just like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're a robot. And like, oh, most games would save that. You're going to throw that out there already?
Right, they save it their trump card. But really, like, they play it very smartly. I mean, they string you along into arriving at the conclusion pretty organically, and then when they finally reveal it, it then just keeps getting crazier and crazier.
Well, because what they do is like, yeah, you're a robot, but are you human?
Exactly. That's
like,
yeah.
Well, that's like, I mean, that's what David was saying like earlier, is they do really, like, they don't wait. They really do bring out subject matter pretty quickly, and they start introducing it as soon as they sort of have the chance to start going like, hey, let's start talking about some concepts as to what's a human.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say something real quick, because I feel like if somehow someone's listening to this podcast and like saw Soma and they're like, yeah, this is a good time to hear about this game. I don't know
how.
I don't,
that's ever. Like a,
yeah, that's a weird Venn diagram we have. But the reason this works, and like, I know if you hear like, you find out you're a robot, but are you a human? That wouldn't make any sense. But the reason this game works so well is because you start out as Simon. Like, you're just like going through your day. Like, you wake up in your room, you find out you're doing the scan today, you're like in the subway, you go into like the scan thing, and just like a regular life, and then all of a sudden you're underwater, and you find out you're a robot later. But it's like, to your perspective, and this is why I kept saying like the first scene is the most important in the game, like from your perspective, it's been one continuous experience. Right. You start the game thinking you're human, you don't feel any different. I know it's a game, but like, you don't think of yourself any differently when you realize you're a robot. So it's like, but I feel the same. The experience has been the same. I act the same, but apparently I'm in a diving suit.
The character of which you are using as a window to view the game
is perfectly blank.
Well, I was not temporarily blank. He's perfectly blank and incredibly unreliable in the information he's giving you. I mean, Simon is just wrong about things constantly, but he doesn't. There's no one else really, aside from Simon and Catherine, who there's a varying level of like, how honest is this other character being with me?
Right.
There's no one else, so there isn't a lot of information that you like can feel super reliable and like, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
Which is effective. I
mean, it very much goes to the BioShock unreliable narrator trope, but I mean, it could have been reduced down to a "would you kindly" moment, and they I think they understand how cheap that can feel. So it's never about a big reveal. It's about just like slowly building this exploring a very unsettling theme through these different ways. And I mean, you talk about like the experience of being in this world being true and real. You guys remember the puzzle where you're trying to fool one of the former employees into believing that they're in a different environment, digital environment?
Oh, you mean one of the most heart-wrenching points in the game? No, I don't remember that at all.
So let's talk about that scene real quick.
Yeah, that real important scene.
So, David, give some details, because like I said, it's been a while since I've played. And
so yeah, like you're running, man, what do I even begin, guys? I'm burning time again. You need codes to a door, and you have a scan of a dude on a computer that knew those codes, So naturally the scan would have this memory, this like memory. Every time you run this simulation, like you, so you're trying to run the simulation and Catherine's inside of it, like trying to talk to him to get the codes. And first you start and he's a blank room and like you run the simulation. He's like, oh my God, I'm in a computer, aren't I? What, mm-hmm. like what is going on? And he just starts freaking out and you kill the simulation. So like, and then like you repeat this trying to like, so you try in a forest. He's like, why am I in a forest? What's going on? You try with his girlfriend, like a scan of his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're not my girlfriend. I'm in a computer. And you're basically like killing him every time you restart this mm-hmm. like simulation. And you do that over and over trying to like create the perfect experience until he finally gives you the code.
And but you yeah, have to,
like,
you
within
have to
the context
go...
of the game, it's like, oh, I'm killing you again. I'm right. killing you again. Like, you're playing with his timeline.
Like, eventually you have to go to his, like, living quarters to find a photo that is, like, his ideal with his girlfriend, and you somehow use that to create this perfect mm-hmm. scene that then is just, like, even more heart-wrenching. And, I think that they use the idea of repetition really well with NPCs in this game to the point where it feels like slow torture. In order for you to just progress throughout the game, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. And that is a really concrete example of like every time you run that simulation, it's just, it's brutal. It's really brutal.
I just want to say for the most part, I thought these puzzles were phenomenal.
Yeah, the puzzles are good.
It just cut out.
I mean,
some
I also include some of
now?
The enemies as puzzles, essentially.
All right.
I would not.
No? I mean, that's what they are.
Okay, well, puzzles isn't the right
puzzles.
Word. Okay, well, the point is, like, when
thought
I talk
experiments.
About, like, gameplay... button pressing. But when I talk about, like, gameplay and story, some of these, like, intersected perfectly. Like, there was one where, like, you... I think it's, like, right before the code, you need to turn the computer on. But, like, everyone's been dead, so you gotta reset the internet. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily a puzzle, but, like, that's a thing. And then later on, you're trying to run another simulation... But to do it, like, you're managing, like, the data storage of, like, how much mm-hmm. RAM it can handle. It's like,
yeah,
all right, I want this simulation to be at night, so that costs, like, 3 terabytes. But if it's at right. night, I need to load the moon simulation. That sets me over. What if I take out, like, the grass shaders? So it's, like, things like mm-hmm. that. It's not necessarily challenging, but it's, like, this is totally appropriate for the setting. It, like, yeah. 100% fits with this game.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that. I could talk about that.
I mean, and that is the stuff that, like, I wish that they had focused on even more. Because it definitely, there is an understanding of what this world is. And when you're in these non-chase sequences, I felt far more engaged in just figuring out devices and being able to just navigate through this environment through puzzle solving. And that gave me a better... idea of this place. You know, navigating also between facilities was a great... At first, I was not very... So between... It kind of operates on a, like, Bioshock 2 level of, like, I'm traversing through this critical path that is between facilities. But in between, you are in this, like, open ocean overview. No enemies really in sight. There's, like, one... roaming slow guy who, if he catches wind of you, will chase after you. But it's a good break from the tense indoor experiences. But you know, you're at your leisure or kind of just like going around trying to just solve
the pacing of this game was good.
Yeah, the yeah. pacing was great, and it was a good little break from the more like tense indoor environments.
Yeah, those ocean scenes are always relaxing. They're never tense. They never have anything,
okay.
anything at all that would lead you to feel stressed.
Okay.
Not
until
at all.
You,
not at all.
Until you're in the deep ocean
really
and everything
deep,
is awful forever.
Yeah.
Deep ocean when you have to just throw everything out the window and go, you know what, now I'm not comfortable at any point.
Right. In that, I mean, that to me was like completely subverting expectations because in your head you're thinking, you know, these sections have been very chill. You know, but then as soon as you go deep, deep underwater, I mean, that is just like thrown to the wind.
Well, credit to the game. Like at that point, like just the sound design was enough to set me on edge. Like I was playing in the room where my family and they're like, it's a video game. How can you possibly be scared right now? And I just gave my sister the headphones and just sat still for a little bit. She's like, I don't want anything to do with this.
It's creepy.
Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, it's their sound design is really good. But you were saying that there's sort of you felt, I don't know, you felt a little critical just in regards to moments of there's definitely like a feel. This is sort of similar to Amnesia, where like when there's an enemy, you're just like, oh, this is an action segment. This is a tense segment. Now I gotta move. But that is, I mean, yeah. that's how the frictional games have all operated.
That is true. I don't think that's the best way for them to. I mean, their games are steeped in really petty stuff, and I don't know if these gameplay mechanics service the story that they're trying to tell. I've felt that way about Amnesia. I mean, that game is just like, it's dense. It really is. This gothic horror, Cthulhu, Lovecraftian experience. But
when adjective, you get, adjective, adjective.
Yeah, that's my sentences are just that.
Well, then I have a question in regards to, because it's pretty, I think the conversation of Soma, you kind of inevitably have a question and conversation about BioShock as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you're familiar with BioShock.
Right.
Ocean world. Live in the ocean world.
In the deep.
So, but in regards to that, how would you rate BioShock in terms of scaring you in contrast to Soma? Because Soma, I think realistically, if you look at how enemies feel, you look at the environment, Soma maybe could have had a weapon in it, but is that necessarily a good thing? Do you think that would have actually helped it? Because I think that there is a certain merit to, like, there are merits to games where you are unarmed, and an aspect of that is that you do not have a method of fighting enemies. You have to avoid them and deal with them other ways.
Mm-hmm.
We're also ignoring the fact that there is possible to have a middle ground where you don't have to be able to kill it, but it is possible to, like, I don't know, have a mechanic where you can, like, distract deal with it somehow.
Yeah,
or, like,
I mean, that's the thing is, like, in a BioShock, you have weapons, so clearly you can deal with splicers, but in something like this, I think it's really important to have a clear set of rules in order to deal with an enemy. And I mean, Soma's movement and the feel of it is just, it's loose, you know? It does not feel like it is easy to navigate through these sections. And I think if you were to go that route, it's really important to have, all right, it might change, circumstances might change from monster to monster, but I know I can rely on this one thing to get me out of dodge, you know?
You have a great butt, and you distract the monsters with your butt.
I twerk all throughout the deep.
I feel like I'm playing a bit of a devil's advocate here.
And so, that's fine.
What's new?
I have another question for you then.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there anything scarier than having nothing to be comfortable about?
It's, being naked and having nothing comfortable.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Soma, little known fact, it's you are naked the entirety of it. Oh, dogs in the other room barking.
Is that Hannah?
It's Hannah.
Hi, Max's dogs.
They don't need to do this.
What up, dogs?
Because, I mean, there is a case we made in terms of just, like, the scariest thing sometimes is, like, man, this is a very uncomfortable environment. I wish I wasn't lost, confused, and afraid.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that, but that doesn't make it immune to criticism. Like,
it doesn't make it immune to criticism.
There's a difference for them, like, wanting you to feel that way, and then, like,
so
if we want to talk about literal mechanics, there was some it has the same Amnesia thing where, like, clicking and, like, dragging your mouse in circles to open, like, a valve. I was stuck at a point for 2 days because I could not move that valve.
There were some puzzles.
Or, like, I was killed by a monster over and over because I could not move a ladder. So, like, yeah, that makes it uncomfortable, but that's
ridiculous.
Not a good thing.
No. It's ridiculous, yeah.
I was also playing on a Mac, so that's
that might explain it.
PS4
controller all the way. So there was definitely one section where I feel like mechanic worked. It was the section where you have to get that elevator operational, and you're having to run back to, I mean, through just navigating this really dark set of hallways to get to, I think it was a security panel to activate the card, and then you have to go to the elevator and plug it up, and then it powers on. So that section, to me, it worked because you have an idea of the layout, you're also trying to navigate around corridors to avoid this monster, and you have a clear objective. You know, I think those 3 points worked well to create tension, because I knew there was an end goal. I knew there was something I had to achieve. I was able to remember the places I needed to be, because it was lit in a way where it was like, all right, this is clearly the path I need to go. And it was tense, but it only worked because there was something for me to grab onto. I knew what I needed to do. Whereas in these other sections, it's just, it feels a little bit aimless.
I have a feeling that both of you are soured on the same section. I am curious if that's the case, though. There's one enemy in particular I felt who was exceptionally vague in terms of just, like, I still don't know how this enemy works. The only detail I know is that that enemy apparently can see you, can hear you, and is very aggressive. Most of the enemies I sort of found, like, there was an amount to which, you know, maybe you'd end up getting killed or there'd be one really close call, but then it'd be like, oh, that's what I'm doing. I mean, even the guy with the disco ball head who you can't look at, that took a while to figure out. Mm-hmm. And it had quite a couple, like, oh, this isn't so good. But, like, once you did get it, it was like, oh, I can actually maybe confront this thing.
I haven't got it. I just, like, ran past every monster.
Me too.
Just, like, prayed.
Oh, you guys.
Please, water Jesus. guys, we don't want to go past 40 minutes, so can I complain about the last thing that bothered me?
Just
to make sure I
go
for it.
Just so you can.
The wow.
Just like the
wow.
Game.
Like, halfway, like, near the end of the game, all of a sudden you basically meet this, like, squid prophet. Like, he's just like he's like clearly
so
like a
dumb
WoW creation, and he's like speaking cryptically, like, you are a snake, strike at the heart.
He sounds like Robert Plant.
we will kill the monsters. No, but just like pops up and he's like, grab the gel, Simon, so that we may save humanity in this plant.
They
like,
explained that more than you're making it out. They did explain
they
that
did,
quite
but
a
they
bit.
St- like,
but
they kind of did, but like, what he wants you to do is kill the WoW, and you like, so I think when you're evaluating a game, like, developer intent, like, you should look at what they were trying to do, and they were trying to create a very complicated story, like, that has a lot of heady ideas, and it ends up at a point where the Squid Prophet wants you to kill the WoW, and whether you kill it or not, the game continues on the exact same way.
Sure.
There is zero consequence no matter what you do. And also, at that point, I didn't have motivation other than, like, underwater Jesus was telling me to kill it.
That's
like,
all
it's
the
just
motivation.
Like, I understand that, like, I just didn't think, like, they fleshed out that point of the game very well, and it just, like, kind of soured me on it.
Now, there is a lot more information sort of they do provide quite a bit more encouragement to kill the WoW than you're leading on there.
Because you fucking hate the WoW.
The problem
is they are, but
so
I didn't
stress.
Like. I didn't necessarily like buy into their like reasoning. Is my problem? I know there's
part of the problem is that a lot of the information you can find is it's in the same kind of format as Amnesia a lot of times, where you don't necessarily have to find it.
I got that information, dude.
No,
I just didn't
No, I'm just saying like. There is that aspect of, like, there are major plot points sometimes that are not things you run into. You could just walk past them, never look at the note, and you would just never find out that that's a point of the plot.
I mean, you could experience our game if you want to look around, or you can just, like, be a dick and ignore everything. We don't care.
But here's the thing. If there are notes sometimes that are in areas where you don't think you're allowed to look around because you're running.
That's shitty though. Like,
no, that's what I'm saying. I was saying bringing that up is like that's from back from Amnesia. That's just kind of a thing. I actually in a certain way feel like Amnesia was even less encouraging for you to like stop and look around at it because of the whole insanity thing that made you constantly
absolutely.
On edge.
Right.
You wanted to explore, coward.
Yeah, your screen is getting really shaky. Your brain is going to collapse. That was basically Amnesia. So yeah, I think like to wrap up how I feel about it. I mean, it is a I you know, I've been talking shit this entire time. I think it is one of the most...
I love this game so much, yeah, and I hate that I talk bad about it.
It's one of the more memorable experiences of last year by far. And I think it's just, it's encouraging to have something that is willing to explore such a huge, dense theme, and they're able to break it down into smaller vignettes through those NPCs, through notes you find throughout the world. I mean, that stuff to me, that worked. And that's something going forward, I hope that it becomes more of a focus for them.
I mean, this was my game of the year, but for a guy that plays about 5 new games a year, that doesn't mean a whole lot. can I make a suggestion? I mean, I made the suggestion off the air, but now I'm making the suggestion on the benefit for our sweet listeners.
Go ahead.
Instead of... This is going to be a roundabout way of getting to it. So, like, last time we ended by talking about just sort of our, like, overall thoughts and final words. But we're trying to be a little bit more about art. We didn't quite hit on that so much this time. But since we're trying to talk about video games as art, I view art as, like, a conversation. Like, art doesn't happen in a vacuum. Like, it's responding to, like, the genre or the trends of the time or what other artists are doing or your personal experiences. It's just sort of like an ongoing conversation.
Right.
So I think it'd make more sense to talk about how the game would influence the conversation overall, rather than our final thoughts.
Go ahead, guys.
I'll start. So I think in terms of the... Again, by saying it like impacted the conversation, it doesn't mean it did it the best. It doesn't mean other games can't contribute. This is just what I feel like it would like add to it. So barring the fact that Frictional... Like, this would like warrant... like its own note just because Frictional made it and Frictional sort of like changed the game with Amnesia. I think this was a perfect example of just like how complex of a topic a video game could tackle. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people would be dismissive, like it's a video game. How like, what can it possibly do? But this was like one of the most like thought provoking experiences in any media that I've ever encountered.
Yeah. I think it's very existential and I think they tackled it nicely. I think especially talking about a game that has, I think a game like this, it's sort of inevitable to not sort of look at it in regards to Frictional as an artistic studio's progress. I think that Soma is I think in contrast to Amnesia, Machine for Pigs, you know, the previous game.
That wasn't Frictional though.
That was Frictional with the Chinese game room. The Chinese game room designed the game. Frictional, I think, was there to deliver the story beats.
I was saying, sorry for killing your groove, Max.
Keep going.
I would say this Soma feels like a much more aesthetic and atmospheric step from the original Amnesia. It feels like they own the aesthetic in a much more substantial way. I mean, that is the one that you just say. I mean, they really did own what they wanted to own. They owned they owned the existential underlying narrative. They owned the ocean aesthetic. I mean, they knew what they wanted to do. Well, I think they did it well.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to the false reality of being in a video game, like that's Soma's biggest contribution because it plays with this idea of I'm inhabiting this first-person perspective. I'm getting their view of the world and how they choose to break that throughout, whether it's the false simulations, the NPCs that you're torturing, and then that reality check of, like, you transfer consciousness to another body and you have to kill or leave that one behind, that Simon. That, to me, those are the moments that contribute to that conversation because it's not every day that you have a developer play with the conventions of a mechanic, you know, or just the conventions of the first person experience.
Or humanity, right.
I think in terms of like overall sort of artistic development, I think that one of the most important things to the entire conversation that Soma does, I think one of the most important moments in the entirety of Soma is that beginning sequence. We did kind of like hint on it a bit, but not a lot of games do that. And that beginning sequence, it really makes a world of difference. It would be without that beginning sequence, that game does not stand as strongly as it does.
Mm-hmm.
And it took time, and they really spent the time on that. I think that start just does a ton for the game.
And it does still feel very alien-like. Like, nothing about your room or the facility that you go into is familiar. You know, it's just a very...
Yeah, it's like, what? Like, who lives in Canada anyway? Like, what is that place?
They're America's hat. That's what I've heard. Why is it just a giant hat? Go ahead, go ahead.
No, you go. I was actually gonna wrap it up. Oh, so you end off, and then I'm gonna cut you off.
Well, no, it just again feels like very like uninhabited. You know, it's even though it is like real world, quote unquote. It there's something off about it, and I think it continues onward from there. So.
The bottom of the ocean feels more inhabited than that intro.
Exactly,
room.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this was a bit of a long one, but there's a lot to talk about in this game. So
we barely even got to touch on a lot of things too. There's a lot. That I think is a decent metric of a game's success, especially if you're going to talk about it within the confines of discussing something artistically. If there's a lot to talk about and there are a lot of conversations to have, that's a success in its own regard.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Good or bad. Good or bad conversations. So, like, there are good conversations. There are bad conversations.
Here's a weird conspiracy thing. Now that I think about it, do you think that opening sequence was just like Simon's like recollection?
Caleb, this is
you're going
we
to
are
you're going very
wrapping
deep.
It up.
You're
this
going,
is the wrong time to bring that
you
up.
You just brought up a concept that we didn't even get to touch on, and
but like,
is
but for real though. Now that
okay, if you want to get technical, the whole game would be viewed through the lens of the
that's,
third Simon
okay,
that was
you're
in
right,
the power
right.
suit. But yeah,
yeah. yeah.
But so
it's
that
just
was cool, guys.
It feels like even more poignant of like, oh, perhaps that was not even
unless
any,
that
the
coin toss theory
unless,
was a mess.
Unless that narrative was an interesting concept to make Simon feel
comfortable. We need a sign off so we could effectively just shut this down.
Yeah, you're right. So next week, Dark
so
Souls.
So long,
right?
Sluts.
we'll
I don't
just
like
say
that.
We'll say praise the sun. That's all we'll do.
Oh, you okay. really want to talk about Dark Souls,
guys? Okay.
Shush. Shut up.
Okay. All right. I'll shut up.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.